is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, a war in the Middle East, and airstrikes. And we're very pleased to welcome our longtime colleague, Lieutenant Colonel retired Jonathan Conricus of the IDF, now a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, speaking from the region. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Two airstrikes, one in Damascus, casualties include IRGC commanders, another in Hamas, casualties include NGO workers. We'll begin with Hamas, the strike in Gaza. What we know now is there's an investigation underway. Can you help us understand the focus of the investigation, where it's going? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. Shalom to Malcolm, of course. Thank you for having me on your show. The investigation is going ahead, I think, with significant priority because the Israeli authorities understand that there is a lot hanging in the balance, and the faster the investigation is concluded and presented, the better. Where it's going is in basically what needs to be understood is how or what was the reason that the humanitarian convoy was mistaken for vehicles carrying Hamas or other terrorists. That, I think, is the current focus. How did that happen? How could it be that a convoy of an acknowledged and very positive humanitarian organization, the WCK, was mistaken? It was an area which was coordinated in advance, and the IDF knew about the convoy, and they knew that the organization was operating there, yet somehow, and that is still not clear exactly how, convoy was mistaken for terrorists, and that is why it was targeted. Now, what the real challenge here and why it really, really matters, beyond, of course, the sad and totally uncalled for loss of life, but what really is in the stakes here is that the IDF has been working very hard in order to replace the corrupt and collaborating with Hamas UN organization in Gaza called UNRWA. And the WCK is one of the organizations, perhaps the most important one, which is supposed to help in providing humanitarian aid to Palestinians and allow Israel to phase out UNRWA. Now, if these organizations do not feel safe, and if they feel that it's not a safe environment to operate in, that poses a strategic difficulty for Israel. It focuses a lot of negative attention on Israel, and it's something that I think is in a top Israeli priority to rectify. And I think that the situation now is very sensitive, and what Israel needs to do is to conduct a swift and then transparent review, present the findings, and take quick steps and communicate those steps in order to make sure that aid organizations understand that it is safe to operate in Gaza. If not, Israel will have a significant problem.
Malcolm,
you have spoken to us before, and I think people need the context to understand the efforts that and the extent to which IDF goes, which international experts have said is the most of any army in the world, to abort strikes when they felt that there was a presence of civilians. Can you talk a little bit about that and about the measures, the decision-making process, so people understand that this is not the rule, that if there is an exception, it'll be identified, but in the difficult terrain that they're fighting in, how the decisions are made?
Yeah, I mean, the environment, for those who haven't been in Gaza or close to it, it's very difficult to understand. I've been on the ground and below the ground in Gaza. I've seen the realities many years ago and also now. It is a chaotic environment in a very dense area, in a very small space. You have civilians, you have international aid organizations, you have Israeli soldiers, and of course you have Hamas, who from the beginning, strategically speaking, have rigged the battlefield in such a way that there's no distinction really between the military targets of Hamas and civilians who are all about. And Hamas has purposely embedded themselves within the civilian population, using the population as their human shields, You know, you could wander, you could scan the Gaza Strip from the north to the south and east to the west. You won't find a single sign that says, welcome to Camp Salah ad-Din, which is the name of a historic Muslim fighter. Welcome to Camp Salah ad-Din of the Hamas organization. There's no such thing. There's no official buildings of Hamas in Gaza. Everything is within civilian infrastructure, which makes it a very challenging situation. Now, to make things even more challenging is the fact that there is a situation on the ground where there's an urgent need to provide food and humanitarian necessities to many of the civilians in Gaza. Israel is busy doing that together with various UN and other NGOs. Israel is facilitating the flow of hundreds of truckloads of humanitarian aid every day into the Gaza Strip. The last figure that I saw yesterday was more than 250 trucks of food, clothing, water, and medicine coming into Gaza to support the civilian population, those, of course, that are not Hamas fighters. The problem has been that Hamas has been stealing humanitarian aid and then selling it at exorbitant prices to the population, or otherwise collecting the humanitarian aid and storing it in their warehouses and denying the civilians really receiving humanitarian aid. And that's why we've seen these horrible incidents of lots of civilians that are crowding and trying to get humanitarian aid. All of this is because Hamas's practices. Now, in terms of targeting, I think that the Gaza environment is probably the most challenging targeting environment in the world, where there is so many civilians around, and it's really a challenge. And I have seen personally, firsthand, in IDF headquarters and in various locations in southern Israel, I have seen aircraft with missiles on their wings on their way to execute the mission. And the mission was aborted last minute or minutes before that because there was the presence of children or civilians or anybody else that shouldn't be affected by the fighting. That is called distinction. Right, the IDF distinguishes between military targets, the terrorists who are fighting against Israel and trying to kill Israeli civilians, and those who are not. And those who are not, Israel tries not to strike them, not to harm them, and definitely not to kill them. What makes it difficult is that Hamas constantly tries to look like civilians as they are fighting against Israel. But despite that, and with this I'll end, Israel has aborted or canceled or delayed hundreds of planned strikes against legitimate military targets because the Israeli soldiers saw that the price wasn't worth it. In legal terms, this is called proportionality, that the proportionality between the good outcome of taking out the terrorist, the combatant, wasn't enough to jeopardize the lives of civilians. And this is standard IDF practice. This is how the IDF operates. This is how Israeli forces save lives. Of course, like any military infighting, like the Americans and the French and the Germans and the British and anybody else fighting, we do also make mistakes. But we investigate the mistakes and we try to improve from each event. Like this tragic incident, the IDF will improve from it because the IDF has no choice. It will have to be more accurate and have additional safety measures in order to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Jonathan Conricus, Lieutenant Colonel, retired IDF, now at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holmes.